Hello, and thank you for joining us here at I-80 Sports. Today, we're talking about Major League Soccer Week 10. We're talking about the U.S. Men's Team Gold Cup roster that just dropped, and we're talking about some teams that are having a great week, teams that aren't having such a great week. You're seeing it all here at I-80 Sports. Alex, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Bob?
Good. Having a great week, and hope to complete our 10th straight week of Major League Soccer betting wins. We did it again. Every week of this season, we've added up all our bets, and we have not had a losing week since the Major League Soccer season started. So we hope to get that going a little later this week, but we have a couple things to talk about. First, we are going to get into those U.S. Men's National Team Gold Cup rosters in just a minute. But first, Alex, last week there were two Major League Soccer games for most of the teams. And I want to talk about the teams that had the best week, teams that had the worst week. We're going to cover that first. Two teams, Alex, had a two-loss week, the San Jose Quakes and Toronto FC. Which team of those two do you feel the worst about heading into the future of the season?
I'm going to pick the team that the smell is worse. I mean, the garbage fire, whatever you want, dumpster fire you want to call it, that's got to be Toronto for sure to me. I mean, two losses again. The controversy with Jozy Altuve not playing. You don't have Pozuelo. Soldado down is in Copa America. Chris Armas.
Soteldo,
sorry. Chris Armas, every day that everyone's thinking he's getting fired. It's just wild what's going on. And I don't think anyone expected this going into this. Akinola's not been the same. I know he just announced he's playing for the Canadian national team, but let's be real. Since the bubble last year, he's not been exactly lights out power forward like
he
like
looked Darryl good DK, in that game against yeah. Miami, against Darryl DK, sure, yeah, against but, Orlando.
You know what I mean? The statistics just aren't there. Yes, like, he's not really. We all thought he would step in and just take over for Altuve's position. That really hasn't happened. That's one of the reasons why Toronto's struggling. The defense is older. They're having trouble stopping goals and they're having trouble scoring goals. Chris Armas' situation, the Altuve situation, is just a dark cloud over the franchise. Somebody's going to go there, either Armas or Altuve. We'll see who wins this battle. You know, I'm expecting that to happen sometime in the summer. And we'll see where Toronto goes here. Ali Curtis, we all know him from the Rebel days. He's not going to sit still and just watch this, you know, deteriorate to the ground. No, somebody's got to go there. They're going to make some changes. But as of right now, this team, where they are in the standings and what they've done this past week, they're a dumpster fire. It's just a dark cloud over his franchise. They got to do something quick, or they're going to be out of the playoffs.
I agree. But out of the two teams that had a two-loss week, I actually feel the worst about the San Jose Quakes. Looked promising at the beginning, got a couple wins early on in the season, and 5 points for Cade Cowell in the first two games. Since then, 7 losses and 1 tie. No points for Cade Cowell until last weekend. He went from a absolute plug-and-play starter to a 30 to 50-minute-a-game kind of guy. I don't like that at all. Yeah, I don't like that for Cade. I don't like that for San Jose. And for me, you know, out of San Jose Quakes or Toronto FC, the two teams with two losses last week, I definitely think San Jose takes the cake here. But two teams definitely not where they want to be at this point in the season. But it wasn't all bad last week, Alex, because there were four teams with two wins.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in there. You just saw the GM for San Jose just got fired, so they're already making moves. They're not going to sell for this. You know, with Almeida, they're going to be back. You know, I don't know what's the next move, like player personnel wise, but firing the GM after this week shows that they're serious if they want to turn this around. That's a good sign if you're a San Jose fan.
I would be surprised if Almeida's staying very long, and it may be on his own accord. There, it looks like he's going to pull his hair out every game.
Yeah,
four teams though with two wins this past week. That is the LA Galaxy, Sporting Kansas City, Orlando, and NYCFC. Out of those four two-win teams from this past week, which one are you the highest on?
I'm going to go with the game I watched, and I came out of my seat. It was NYCFC. And, you know, I don't like them. As a Rebel fan, I can't stand them. But they seem to understand very quickly, and David Beckham has not understood this, that going after the Pirlos and Lamparts of the world does not work in MLS. Now what they're doing is going with the young talent that's just before they're going to Europe, and you're seeing this with this Brazilian connection, this Thiago Andrade, I think I'm saying his name right, and I saw him sprinting down the right side late in that game in a 1-1 game against DC United, and that move cut back and they put it into the net. I saw every left back in MLS got to take notice because this guy is serious. And then they have Magnet. I mean, this team is loaded up front. Castellanos, Medina, Schrady, Tajiri Schrader, I always kill his name.
Tahori
Schrady,
yes.
I always kill his name. You know,
every week.
But the NYCFC, the way, you know, I think they beat Atlanta earlier, 1-0, and then winning DC United conference games, winning games. I know they're playing at Red Bull Arena. I know it's a weird situation with the Yankee Stadium and all that. But up front, you have the games. And that Magna guy, they just came in. Wow.
Palace, I mean, Magno from also a Brazilian. They got two young Brazilians.
Wow. I mean, they're just loaded up front. And with Keaton Park and then James Sands in a Gold Cup team. If they could just stop goals, if they're solid in the back, this is a dangerous team. This is going to give New England problems, I mean, for the top spot in the East. And to me, for the week, I know we used to talk a lot about the Galaxy. I think Sporting Kansas City under the radar. Orlando, you know, now they got DK back for who knows how long, maybe a couple weeks, and he's gone. Great, great starts, great teams. But NYCFC, to me, is under the radar. No one's really looking at them. You got to start paying attention because they are loaded up front, and MLS defenders really got to take notice.
Out of these four-win teams, I'm thinking Galaxy has been red hot in blue cold. I don't even know what color you'd use there. And Orlando is kind of what we expected. They're as advertised. They're legitimate. For me, Sporting Kansas City is actually the one that I'm the highest on moving forward. It's because they have two legitimate goal scorers in Shallowy, 7 goals, 3 assists. We're going to talk about him a little more later. Alan Pulido, 6 goals. You got Kinda and Busio playing at the top of their game. That's what you need. You need a supporting cast and two guys to go off. And then you have the Major League Soccer recipe for winning some games. They do have depth. You know, they're certainly not coming out of nowhere. They've been on our radar for a long time. But SKC, for me, is that team that is absolutely stunning. We're going to talk a little bit about Daniel Shalvey in a little bit later. But I do want to touch on that right now. Just two leading goal scorers, 7 goals, 6 goals. That's more than most teams have even one of. So that is my top contender here.
And don't forget, Buzio, any day now is going to Serie A. There's like 4 or 5 teams linked. I think the Gold Cup is a swan song watching the stateside, so better get used to him now. I keep talking about it. I'm 99% positive Buzio will be gone sometime before the end of the Gold Cup. You'll hear the announcement.
Nothing gets the attention of foreign rosters like playing well in your domestic cup, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to see him. We're talking about his later. We're going to see him in the center of the park. I know he's going to be starting for this team.
Some great news around Major League Soccer this week, but the big news of the day was the U.S. Men's National Team Gold Cup roster dropped. We're going to get into that right now. But first, Alex, I do want to mention the storyline all year long. We know what it was. All week, all year, from us. Guys, the Gold Cup roster was always going to be a second-tier squad. It was going to be guys on the cusp for the World Cup, on the cusp for the Olympic later on this year. So these are guys that were always going to be Major League Soccer oriented. These were never going to be guys from overseas. And the roster dropped today, and guess what was all over Twitter?
Panic, MLS haters.
Because
MLS haters. That's all it comes down to. Listen, Mexico's taking this differently. Tata Martino, Greg Berhalter went into this summer going, Nations League was number one, and he wanted to beat Mexico in a big-time match, and he did. And, you know, with our young talent, we still haven't seen our top full roster. Still, Adams, McKinney, we've not seen our main guys all together yet. We still won Nations League. Now, with the COVID, you've seen in Europe, these guys are playing 40, 50, 60 games, 2 to 3 games a week for how many months? He decided to give a lot of guys that are in Europe, you have a chance to make squads, they're starting positions to get more minutes, back off the Gold Cup. You know, we had the Nations League we wanted. Now you got a new foreign league to work on. Yeah. I'm going to bring in some guys that we're looking for some depth, and there's going to be injuries going into the qualifiers in September going on to the World Cup. The roster you think is going to happen is going to change because injuries are going to happen. Now he's looking for some depth and giving some guys a chance, giving some experience. And I don't see there's a, you know, if we want to talk about the roster, I don't know where you want to start with.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the roster because this MLS looks heavy, a lot more like what we saw for the World Cup qualifiers and what we're going to see for the Olympics. This is a young squad. That's what I was trying to say before that I couldn't quite get out of my mouth. It looks more like the World Cup more like the Olympic qualifying team than we would see during a normal friendly. Got goalkeepers, Brad Guzan, Sean Johnson, Matt Turner. No surprises there. I think Sean Johnson's going to be the guy to get first dibs at that, and that's solid. That's what you would expect.
I'm going to say Matt Turner's going to get this one. Yeah, I think he's going Matt Turner. I heard Berhalter say talking him up, and I think this is finally giving Matt Turner a chance. We've seen what Sean Johnson can do. We've seen what Brad Guzan can do. Not seen enough Matt Turner. Why not bring him in? If we're not bringing our A team to the Gold Cup, let's play a guy that really hasn't played a lot, and he's been in MLS arguably one top two best goalies, if not the best goalie in MLS the last couple of years. I would go with Matt Turner here. Why not?
Absolutely. I'm a little surprised Bill Hamid may not have been part of that mix. I'm not sure what we're doing with Brad Guzan at this point in his career.
All right, I agree with you.
He made the squad. When you look at the defenders, we got George Bello from Atlanta, Reggie Cannon from Boavista, Shaq Moore, who's not a player I'm very familiar with, Donovan Pines, Miles Robinson, James Sands, Sam Vines, Walker, Zimmerman. That's not a bad crew.
It's MLS heavy. Now listen, the way I look at it is if he's going to go four in the back, I'm looking at the battle on the left-hand side between Vines and Bello. One of them is going to be the left-hand starter. The right-hand starter is going to be Reggie Cannon. I think that's pretty much set in stone. And I think your center back's going to be Walter Zimmerman. Now it comes down. You're grooming Dominic Pines. Are you Miles Robinson and James Sands? I mean, those are the youngsters that you're going to look to see who's going to pair with Walker Zimmerman. I don't know which way he's going to go with that. And Shaq Moore, he has one appearance for U.S. national teams in a while. We played Italy, I don't know, 2017, something like that. I don't know much about him. I've heard good things what he's done in Europe. I know he's bounced around. I know he was in Portugal at one point. I don't know where exactly he is now. I've heard him bounce around. Give him a shot. Why not? He's under 30, you know, a young guy. Why not? I mean, for me, this is a question mark going into against a Mexico squad like this. If we lose to Mexico, the first thing people are going to point out is going to be this defense. Now listen, I think it's solid enough right now to get through most of the teams in this Gold Cup roster. And those are the guys I see are probably starting. Things could change. I don't know what's up Berhalter's sleeve. He's always tinkering, trying to do something. That's how I see it right now. I don't know how you see it, Bob. That's how I see it.
When you move to the midfield, I see one of my favorite players, Kellen Acosta from the Colorado Rapids. You got Gianluca Busio probably on that stage to be being moved out of Major League Soccer. Sebastian Legette, Christian Roldan, Eric Williamson from Portland Timbers. That's a nice addition there. And Jackson Uiel from San Jose Earthquakes, who I think was one of the lone bright spots in the Olympic qualifiers. I keep messing those up. In the Olympic qualifiers, a lone bright spot here. So kind of a robust midfield. And you know what? That might be a strong suit of this team.
Yeah, I'm looking at Busio in the middle. He's going to go Kellen Acosta, most likely. I think he likes Christian Roldan and the veteran leadership here. Sebastian Legette, you know, the jack of all trades. I could also see him go there either instead of Acosta or with Acosta. And Jackson Wheel, I think, Eric Williams, I don't see starting right here, even though he's had a very good last couple of years in Portland. To me, I love to see Jackson Wheel and Busio at the same time on the field, both, you know, attacking, like spraying the ball around the field, guys. But I don't know. I don't think he's going to go that way. I think it's going to be Busio, and he's going to go defensive with Acosta, Legette, and Roldan. I think that's the way he's going to go. Play it smart with three veterans and have the young guys spraying the ball around, not worrying about defense.
Absolutely. And when you have Kellen Acosta on the field, you know that works for late subs too, because you can have, you know, someone like Sam Vines down at left back and have Kellen Acosta starting in midfield. You need a sub. You need some fresh legs. Well, pull Sam Vines, move Kellen Acosta back, and now you have an extra spot in midfield. So I do see a lot of kind of strategic placement of some of these players, regardless of where they're listed right there
The fans out there got to understand, Kellen Acosta and Sebastian Legette get a lot of criticism. And they might be the best players on the field, but what they do that a lot of players don't do is play multiple positions and allow Berhalter to make tactical decisions at certain times. If he wants to go five in the back, he can easily move Kellen Acosta back there. Even Sebastian Legette, if you had to. You can play him as wingbacks. You can play him defensive midfield. You can play him in a six. You can play him as a 10. Sebastian Legette can play him as a wing. You can play him in defensive midfield. You can play him in as a back. These are the reasons why these guys are on the team. So, you know, when these guys get criticism, MLS guys, blah, 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 they might not be the best players, like man for man on roster, but they're the best player for the team, what they're trying to do. If Berhalter needs to make tactical changes, losing 1-0 early or up 2-0 early, you need to change. Having these guys that can play multiple positions gives them multiple options, only give them a better chance to win.
Absolutely. When you look at these forwards, Paul Arriola from DC United, Daryl DK from Orlando, Nicholas Giochini from San, Matthew Hawk from Schalke, Jonathan Lewis from Colorado, and Jossie Zardes from the Columbus Crew. This, I think, is exactly what we'd expect, with the exception of Nicholas Giochini. I would think he would be in Europe playing for his club squad, and I'm actually kind of excited to see him listed here.
I saw him on the friendlies in Europe. I'm looking at the depth chart he's got. On the left side, it's going to look like it's going to be, I think it's Hop and Arriola. On the right side, the battle will be Giochini. No, sorry, Lewis. Lewis and Hop on the left side, Arriola and Giochini on the right side, and the center forwards are DK and Zardes. To me, Daryl DK seems to be the starter. He's probably going to go with the veteran leadership, Arriola on one side, and the left side, I'm thinking he's going to give Hop the chance instead of Lewis. You know,
Role cemented that super sub position. Yeah. I like Jonathan Lewis, and I think he can go 90, no problem. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I think he's getting pulled for what he is here, not for what he could be.
I think you're going to see squad rotation easily in the first round. What we see, like, off the bat, you know, Daryl DK, I think, to me, this is his he's starting every game.
I mean, this is his audition.
They want him. Berhalter wants him to take this job by the throat and say, "This is mine. I want to be the starting center forward in the Nash team."
And
if he has a good Gold Cup, if he has a really good cup, he's going to be the starting guy. And we go September World Cup qualifiers. I guarantee it. There's a big move for Dallas, and he's only increased his value. He's going to only make more money. Orlando's going to make more money if he does a really good Gold Cup when they sell him off. Probably at the end of the Gold Cup. So, going forward, is this the best U.S. national team Gold Cup roster we've ever had? Heck no. The reasons why we talked about before. But can this team make damage? They could go to the finals. I don't see why they can't. And Costa Rica isn't as strong. Canada is better, but so what? Jamaica is Jamaica. You know, they give us problems. Yeah. But other than that, Mexico is going to be a problem. So my point is try to avoid Mexico to the finals.
I could see Jamaica being more problem, to be honest, because what I don't see here is backline speed. So let's talk now about some of the players who are missing, some notable subtractions, players that we expected to see. First of all, Caden Clark, not really a surprise. He's out with an appendectomy, but he is someone who I assume would be on this squad. When you look at FC Dallas, there are two players there in Paxton Pomacall and Jesus Ferreira, who personally, in World Cup qualifiers, I've seen enough of. Paxton Pomacall looked very promising. He had that a hernia last year and missed a whole lot of time. Never came back. And when he did come back, the one thing that surprised me was after seeing all these physical players, Younes Musa playing in midfield, Paxton Pomacall just looked kind of like a rag doll. And then Jesus Ferreira looked all right at times, but I don't know where he would fit in the squad. He's not better than anyone you've named so far.
No, and Ricardo Pepi, too, starting. So he almost got called up, Berhalter said, too. He's having a pretty good start now in MLS. He's only 19. Already, I hear an evaluation is $10 million for some teams in Europe already looking for Ricardo Pepi in Dallas, which is tremendous. Guys can't take this seriously. I used to get into the Gold Cup. I've been to the Gold Cup numerous times. I've driven to Baltimore. I've been to the Netherlands, the finals, the semifinals. It used to be more of a big deal to me as a U.S. national fan because, you always want to play Mexico in the final. However, this year with COVID and all these tournaments, all these games, we're taking the foot off the gas pedal. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. We're giving some younger guys a chance.
And you're giving the World Cup players a rest because they're training now for their team. If they were playing competitive matches right now, that would mean they went from, like a full 12 months without any major rest. So I think that is the right choice for those guys.
And is giving the European players a chance to have a little bit of vacation and get ready to camp so they have a good season, get a good start for their European clubs. And there's nothing wrong with that, Berhalter. Once he won the Nations League, the Gold Cup, he gets a pass for me on this. I mean, as long as they don't lose to, one of the minnows in CONCACAF, he's okay with me right now.
I did want to mention a slight bit, I don't know if I would call it drama or, self-motivation. Leon Flock said today, it was reported on Twitter, in the next few weeks, I want to show that maybe it was the wrong decision, talking about leaving him off the roster. But I can't change it, and I'll continue to do what I'm doing here being at the Philadelphia Union. Leon Flack, someone that we've talked about multiple times on this show, definitely an up-and-comer, not happy about his omission from the roster.
You want to put him in instead of Christian Roldan or Eric Williamson, you can make that argument. Nobody would say you're totally wrong with that. But, again, you shouldn't get discouraged. Again, things could happen, injury could happen. Before the Gold Cup, someone could pull up with an injury or bring in Leon Flack in. So, Berhalter had him on a provisional roster, so he knows about him. Berhalter isn't that stupid not to know who Leon Flock is in MLS. He does watch it. So, everybody, you can't start everybody, and everybody can't be on the roster. It just happens. It's a numbers game. Sometimes a guy you think is better than another guy doesn't make a team. It happens in all sports, from football, baseball, basketball. It just happens.
And this squeaky is wheel gets the grease sometimes, and I wonder if there is an injury if Flock isn't the first guy who they go to now that he's made it known.
Exactly. And, Philadelphia is where they are because of him, so let's not take that away.
Absolutely. Now, Alex, Week 10 is among us. We have a full slate of games this weekend, and I want to make some predictions on some of the games that I think we have the best odds on Sportsbook. We have won 9 MLS weeks in a row, almost 25 units up. Alex, if this was on Sirius Radio or on one of the major gambling websites, this would be like the streak of the year. You would hear about it everywhere, but we need to get the news out because we are making some great picks here. 9 straight weeks. Let's see if we can make it 10. And let's start with the Chicago Fire hosting Atlanta United. My pick, Atlanta United plus 220. Chicago is going to their third game of a 4-game homestand with only one win on the MLS season. Their impressive 3-3 tie last week against East powerhouse Philadelphia Union brings their goal total up to 7. They scored 3 goals, brought their total up to 7, which is the lowest in Major League Soccer. Adding to the woes, Chicago is dead last in expected goal differential. 13.9 expected goals and only 7 converted. That means they're getting chances. They're not putting the ball in the net. When you look at Atlanta, winless in their last 5, but in fairness, they face some top teams in the league. Sounders, Nashville, Union, NYCFC among those 5. This is the perfect chance for them to turn their season around with a road victory. They're heading into a tough stretch against Revolution and Nashville coming up. So I think Atlanta is eyeing this game. They need to leave with 3 points, and I think they do.
Yeah, I'm not as confident as you are. I watched that Atlanta Red Bull game, and I know you watched it too. They were a long period of time in that match at home in Atlanta. I was very surprised. I was very surprised at the lack of creativity from midfield. I was surprised the speed that I remember of Atlanta from the Almiron, Joseph Martinez, when Barco's healthy, you know, it's not there. And Moreno's tried. I know I see him trying, but he's not that player right now. And I know they're going to lose Barco at the Olympics. I just heard that today. I know he's still here. I don't know how much longer. I think he's playing this week, but after that, he's going to be out. I don't like that. I don't like Chicago, and I don't like Atlanta on the road in this game. If you're going to bet, I guess I would lean towards Atlanta. But these two teams right now, if I want to win some money, I'm not looking to wager on either one of these teams, to be honest with you.
Atlanta, you are getting plus 220 on that team. For me, what sets them apart is their midfield, Marcelino, Moreno, Sosa, Barco. They're facing off against Gaston Jimenez and Alvaro Medrán, who I think are two underrated players in Major League Soccer, but they're also aging. If Atlanta can move around them, pass around them, and get the ball forward, I think Atlanta has a good chance of leaving Chicago with a away win. Let's move on to talk a little bit about DC United. They host Toronto FC. DC United is minus 125, which I do not understand. That is great odds. DCU is one of my favorite dark horse teams moving forward, and Toronto's FC is a team I can't stop betting against. Last week, in his first game with DC, new player, Dutch attacker Nigel Roberta, formerly from the second Dutch league, scored pulling down a pass and shooting over on his left foot from an awkward angle. So it was like
great goal.
High ball above all the defenders. They just lobbed it forward. He brought it down on a dime, turned, put it onto his left foot from a weird angle, put it right on net. Great goal. And it was just great to see. So Toronto, on the other hand, we know what's up with them. No Soteldo, no Pozuelo, so I'm taking DC United here.
Yeah, I told you I watched the whole DC United NYCFC game. I like what DC United, what that coach is doing. They're young, they run, they can press if they have to. Roberto, that was what a goal that was. I know he ran into New York City in the Thiago, you know, fantastic goal. But we talked about this before, and I'm telling everyone that's listening out there, until further notice, until you see Pozuelo playing a full 90 minutes for Toronto, I'm not touching him. I don't care who they're playing against. Home, away, I don't care. Bet against Toronto, always bet against Toronto until further notice. If things are ugly up there, things got to change. Their best player is not on the field. Until you see Pozuelo playing a full 90, Don't touch them. But go against them every time. And right now, DC United, after the heartbreaking loss last week, I expect them to bounce back, and I expect them to win this game. I agree with you 100%.
One of my keys to the game is going to be the transition. I expect DC United to be aggressive like they were last week, getting long balls forward against Toronto, who's a very error-prone defensive side. Julian Gressel's a player to watch. 30 key passes for DC United, and he adds a league-leading 64 crosses. His matchup should be against Toronto's Kamar Lawrence in the matchup that should do a big part in defining what happens in this game. Moving on, the last game I really want to talk about is Nashville SC hosting the Philadelphia Union. My pick is the Philadelphia Union plus 270. I needed an away heavy underdog, and I found it here. The odds are fantastic. We know Randall Leal will be out of Nashville on international duty. Nashville may or may not get Yonder Cadiz back from the national team. Not a whole lot of goal scoring going on for them right now. Overall, for me, Philadelphia is just in better form, undefeated in their last 9 games. During that span, they outscored their opponent 15-7 on the back of their defense. And Corey Burke, who's now starting and scoring goals every week.
You know how much I love Philadelphia. Look, Nashville at home is a difficult team to play against. They can't score right now. And I have more confidence in Philadelphia between Burke, Chibilko, Santos. What's the kid last week that had the bicycle kick goal, the 18-year-old? Jonathan Quinn, I think his name was. I mean, yes. They're just pumping these guys out. Brandon Aronson. I mean, Philadelphia, what's not to like with Jim Curtin in this game? And the odds 270, man. You got to take Philadelphia in this. I know last week they came back and tied Chicago, which was a surprise. You know, we all thought they were going to get the result in Chicago. Philadelphia's only knock the last couple of years is on the road. They're not a guarantee to get 3 points all the time. They're more deadly at home. That's the only concern I have. And Nashville is tough at home, but Nashville is not showing to me having consistent goal scoring up front. If you're going to be Philadelphia Union, you're going to have to put at least two goals against them to knock them out. You know, they're a team that could, yeah. You're going to have to put at least two in. I don't see Nashville doing that this week. I'm going to agree with you on this. I'm going to take Philadelphia Union as the underdog to win this game.
And my key here is that Philadelphia just taking more chances. Philadelphia Union are absolute last in Major League Soccer at average shot distance, 14.3 yards per shot. That's really low. They love walking it in there. 2 weeks ago, we saw a game-tying long-range goal by Gleznis. Philadelphia needs some more of that. Just put your foot through the ball, take some chances from far away. I expect them to get a few looks at goal. And if they can capitalize there, I think that's the key to beating Nashville. They're not going to walk it in against Walker Zimmerman. Well, actually, Walker Zimmerman won't be there, right?
I'm not sure if he's going to be playing this weekend or not. I don't know what the Gold Cup announcement happening. I'm not sure, dude. There's a bunch of players, we're not sure. I think I've read 57 MLS players will be missing time during the Gold Cup. I don't know when they're leaving their teams. They may be leaving after this weekend. I'm pretty sure. I think that's what I read somewhere. But, 57 is a lot. It shows how good our league is, how the league has grown. From Canada to Jamaica, Mexico, U.S., El Salvador. A lot of them playing MLS, and the best players are going to their national teams, and it's great to see.
It's going to be a great time to watch some Major League Soccer. Alex, thank you for joining us, and thank everyone at home for watching ID Sports.